Welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. Join your host, Rhonda Arl, and Laura Forehand.
We want to help you as teachers reach your full potential by keeping you up to date with all the latest and best Whole Brain Teaching strategies.
Whole Brain Teaching is a grassroots educational reform movement founded by Coach Chris Biffle, Jay Vanderfin, and Chris Reckstad. Whole Brain Teaching's goal is to create peaceful classrooms through orderly fun.
To support the podcast, please like and share with other teachers.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
And now, here are Laura and Rhonda.
Welcome to Whole Brain Teaching, the podcast. We are back, Laura and I, and we are thankful that Coach B is back with us for another week of podcasting. This week, in addition to Coach B, we have another guest joining the podcast, Bethany Blair. Bethany is an amazing Whole Brain teacher with a classroom of extremely beloved rascals. We welcome you both to the podcast. But before Laura and I turn the reins over to Coach and Bethany, Coach, what is our big question for today?
Big question for today, and you'll see why it's such a burning question once you see what Bethany is dealing with, is, Bethany, we'd like to know what you do for self-care to maintain yourself with this class of 100% extremely beloved rascal. What are your self-care strategies, Bethany?
I definitely find stuff that brings me peace. I don't just do something I enjoy. It's something that is peaceful. So I like to go paddle boarding. I like to be out on the water. I can lay out there and be peaceful. I like to listen to music. I can listen to music and sing along and be peaceful inside. It's not just something I enjoy, but it's something that calms myself as well.
Very good. Bethany, we're delighted you're here today. I must say that among a nation of whole brain teachers, you are one of the most successful with extremely beloved rascals. But first of all, give us a bit of background. How long have you been teaching? What grades have you taught? And we'll go from there.
Okay, so this is my sixth year in teaching. I have taught kindergarten through sixth grade. And right now I have a classroom of kindergarten through second graders.
Okay. When did you start using whole brain teaching? Or put that another way, when did you see the light, girl?
Actually, my first year teaching, I had a group of students that I just didn't know what to do with. And so at the end of that year, I went on maternity leave for a little while and I started researching and I found whole brain teaching. And so I started implementing it the second year in 2019 in my classroom. And I saw amazing growth and I didn't have a time where I felt like, why did I become a teacher that second year? And so I've just continued to implement more and more every year after that.
Laura, I bet you can relate to that story. When did you see the light? And we'll follow up with Rhonda too.
Yeah, 100%. So for me, it was very similar, Bethany. I was teaching first grade and I had a group of soon to be first graders coming. So the kindergarten class was just down the hall. And there were a lot of very beloved rascals, a group of boys that were young and just kind of fed off each other. So that's when I started. I mean, even before I got them, it was like probably in the middle of or towards the end of that particular year that I was like, I've got to find something in order to help me with this group of boys that I'm going to be getting. And so, and same thing, it was a life changer. It was a stress changer. It was a classroom game changer, really. And so, yeah, again, I've never looked back, been using it delightfully all these years. So yeah.
Rhonda, when did you see the light, my dear friend?
Well, it was toward the end of my teaching career. I was ready to get out of the profession. I just didn't feel like I was being as an effective teacher as I could be. I was dealing with behaviors more than I felt like I was dealing with curriculum. And we had some snow days and I just happened upon whole brain teaching video and kind of, I ordered the book, got the book read, and approached my principal. I said, this is something, you know, I'm unhappy. I want to try this. And he was on board, and it was glorious from there. And I would never teach without it.
Wow. Okay, Bethany, now give us an overview. Everyone's going to think, oh, what a nice situation. She only has seven kids. They will not think that long when they hear about your seven kids, soon to be an eighth kid. Give us a quick overview of each child. And today we're going to talk about Aggressive Andy and Screaming Sammy. So start from the top. What are these kids like? Why are they in your class?
So they're in my classroom because they are behaviorally and emotionally unable to be in the regular classroom. I have a student that was put in there because he stabbed kids with forks and tore things off walls, including the thermostat. He would try to escape from the classroom and run out of the school, and he was injuring kids on a regular daily basis. I have another child in there who would scream and throw temper tantrums like a 2 or 3 year old, but in doing so, she would hurt people. She would kick people and scratch, and she would throw items, tear items off the wall, and she would get out of the classroom and just go down the hallway, tearing things off the wall as she went. I have another student who was like a bull in a china shop. He was whatever he was in his head, that's what he did. So he would tear things off walls. He would throw things. He would tackle people. I think he does not have an indoor voice. I think his only voice is an outdoor voice. And it's constantly always very loud whenever he talks. He does a lot of yelling. I have another student who screams all the time. Anytime an academic task is presented to him, anytime there's a change, if he thinks something is unfair, if he thinks someone is interrupting him, he will just scream, and he will scream for extended periods of time and will sometimes self-harm if he gets too amped up in his screaming. I have another child who do things that were not safe. He would steal things. He would throw things, flip over chairs, hide under desks and try to flip them over. He actually stabbed someone in the arm with a pencil, and the pencil broke off in that person's arm. I have another student who likes to punch people and punches and kicks and scratches, curses, uses the F word a lot. If he's not able to get his way, or if he is upset, he'll start growling at everybody. And if he's not able to punch someone, he'll find something to throw or swing. And then I have another student who he is constantly moving. He will do back handsprings. He will do flips. He will be on and off tables. He'll be running around the classroom constantly. He cannot be still. And if there's any type of academic task presented to him, he will throw things on the floor, flip over tables and chairs. And then I'm about to get an eighth student on Monday, tomorrow, actually. And he chokes people. He hits people, kicks people on a regular basis.
Yeah. As I look at the screen, I see my dear Laura, my dear Rhonda have just fainted out of their chairs, but I'm waiting till they recover. So let's just talk about one kid. Okay. Give us a background on Aggressive Andy. Go ahead.
Okay. So Aggressive Andy is, he was my most violent student at the beginning of the year. He has a past of severe trauma. Before he was in grade school, he was very abused. He was abused by a lot of men, but his mom allowed that to happen. He was also neglected by her. And so he has a very hard time forming trusting relationships with women because of that. And I feel like it's because his mother, his caretaker, should have been protecting him, and she did not. He punched, hit, kicked me. He left bruises and marks on me. He drew blood a couple times, several times this school year. So we had a really rough beginning of the year for sure. He would be even though the type of classroom I teach in is an alternate learning environment, but he would still be suspended if he injured me. And so he was suspended many times at the beginning of the school year.
All right. Now, my first question is, What was the turning point? And we in whole brain teaching call it the secret sauce. So you are enduring all this that was happening. I know from chatting with you, your constant response was, I love you. So even before we get to the secret sauce, what are you saying, doing, and feeling when you're under assault by aggressive Andy?
Yeah, so I never changed how I talk to him. I wouldn't raise my tone of voice. I wouldn't change and become heightened in my emotions. I would keep the same calm voice, and it was always the same expectations. You need to be safe. If you're not being safe, then we were going to have to go and calm down together. And so I would constantly make sure I wasn't triggering him further by what I was saying and what I was doing. I also know that when he started getting those heightened emotions, that he would growl at me based on my proximity to him. And so if I was close enough that he would start growling at me, I would step back a little bit to give him that space, because he was obviously feeling overstimulated and unsafe in that moment.
So this is a first great lesson, and that is, don't lose control with kids who are out of control. Rhonda, love to hear from you.
Well, I was just wondering, these are great strategies. Do those strategies work with all the students in your class, or just aggressive Andy?
So they work with all my students. They all respond to that calm tone of voice, me not changing my tone, and always knowing what the expectations are. I never change those expectations, whether it's from one kid to another. They're always the same across the board. And I establish those days, day one of my class.
And those expectations are?
You have to be safe. If you're not doing something, if you're doing something that's not safe, I will give you three warnings, reminding you to be safe and to make green choices. If you're not making safe green choices, we will move to another area of the room where you're not around anybody. And once you are calmed down, then we'll have to talk about your unsafe choices.
For new teachers, new to whole brain teaching, we teach kids that there's two kinds of choices, two kinds of actions. Green choices, green thoughts, green actions are helping, healing, making our dear team stronger. Red thoughts, actions, and choices make our dear team weaker. Did you want to add something there, Bethany?
Well, I was going to say, from day one, when I started talking about red choices and green choices, and we made a chart. We would list what are red choices, and I had kids put them on sticky notes and put them on that chart. What are some red choices when we're on the playground? What are red choices when we're in the classroom? What are red choices when we're in the bathroom? Anywhere we go, we talked about red choices and green choices, so they knew what that term meant, what that language was.
All right, so here is a second great lesson that comes from this. The first lesson is, don't lose control of your voice or your facial expression when kids are out of control. Why is that? Because you'll take a small fire and throw some gasoline on it. A child's amygdala is reacting to a sense of threat. It may not seem like a threat to you, but it is to that child. And you are not going to do them any favors by letting your amygdala get out of control. The second great point here is that Bethany is creating a model, a super simple student-generated model of what's going to make our dear team stronger. Those are the green choices. And what's going to make our dear team weaker? Those are the red choices. And we would encourage our listeners to use this overarching theme of Rule 5, make our dear team stronger. Okay, Bethany, anything else to add before we get to the secret sauce, the turning point, the golden corner with aggressive Andy?
I have my students say together, and we'll do the motions and they'll say it with me. They'll say, before I act, I stop and I think, is it kind? Is it safe? Is it making our team stronger? And we say that before we transition anywhere. We say that before we go to the playground, before we go to activity, before we're moving from center time to math. We say that together as a class.
All right, and let's look at what that does. What we're trying to create is what might be called choral harmony, a harmony that brings everyone together. And by chanting these three things, kind, safe, and making our dear team stronger, we are creating a team And teams Jan things and with a clear focus. All right, great. Now, you tried a bunch of stuff, doubtless, but you were on the road to success, though you might not have realized it, by maintaining self-control and continuing to communicate that there's nothing this child could do to keep you from being loving. Wow. What was the secret sauce? What was the moment that things started to change between you and aggressive Andy?
I wouldn't let us not connect. Every time he was aggressive and upset, I would give him that space to calm down, but then I wanted to get into his world. I would ask him, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite car? What do you like to do when you get home? What kind of things do you like to play? Because I know he likes iPads. Anytime he got upset, anytime I had a moment when he wasn't upset, when I just had a moment to talk to him, I would get into his world as much as I possibly could. And whenever I started putting myself into his world and started seeing what he liked, started bringing those things up, letting him catch a toad on the playground and keep it as our classroom pet for a while. I mean, things that he liked and he wanted to learn about and he wanted to see, he started opening up more and more. And as he opened up more and more, we started connecting in other ways. He's actually the one that I'm one of my students that I took to the pet store on spring break just to deepen that connection, because I know that he struggles with that bond and that connection, and I wouldn't let it pass, let the school year pass without connecting to him.
All right. So here are three steps. The Blair staircase. Step one, maintain control of your tone of voice and keep communicating that you love the kid. Step two, build a model of red and green choices. Step three, do some chanting about that model. And step four, just get in there and start looking for connections. Every kid has passions. Every kid has favorite activities. Virtually every kid likes certain iPad games and toys and pets. Find out what those are. And then you're in the child's world. You're not a stranger. Laura, I see you nodding your head. I see that you've recovered from fainting with her seven troubled kids. Please add your wonderful insights here, Laura.
So I'm shaking my head, Coach, because like I appreciate everything that Bethany is saying. And I want our listeners to know that whether you have a classroom like Bethany or whether you have one or two beloved rascals in your class, because everything she was saying is exactly what I do with one of my students. That is the new face of teaching in my opinion. I think we need to get to that space, that doing the things that Bethany was talking about, because those are the things that, I mean, like Rhonda was sharing, you know, we're not going to get to that academic if we're having to deal with behavior issues. So let's front load some of these things that Bethany is talking about so that we can get to those academic pieces that we need to get to.
Now, we don't want to leave Screaming Sammy out, but aggressive Andy did make some significant academic progress. And I want to point out to instructors that we don't distinguish between, oh, this is social emotional and this is academic. We have ways of combining academic content with social emotional strategies, which is a beautiful thing, because we're playing whack-a-mole with two big moles, and we gotta hit both of those moles. Bethany, what are some of the whole brain teaching academic content that aggressive Andy is now excelling in?
So he will respond to brain emotions. I have motions for everything that I do, as much as I possibly can. Like the sound wall has a motion for every sound that we make, and every new academic piece has a motion to it. And even if he doesn't do the motions with me, if he's having a day where he is heightened in his emotions and he's not going to respond, if I do the motion for him, he can tell me what that motion means, because he is paying attention, even though he may not be doing that motion. But on times where he is calm and he is happy and he is able to join us, he does join us and he makes those motions. So we use the magic circle in my room. He always responds to class. Sometimes he growls it if he's not happy, but I just let that go. That's not something that I'm going to address. It's a junk behavior and he's just trying to get a reaction out of me. So I let that go. We talk about the virtues daily. And even though that's not necessarily academic, I always tie my journal entry to the virtues for the day. So if we're talking about Glorious Kindness Monday, my journal entry is going to be about Glorious Kindness. And so I use those, and he might not always write, but if he will tell me, I will write it down for him. And I'm okay with that on days he can't write it. He is able to do math successfully, adding and subtracting with regrouping. He is able to do the sound well, and he likes to lead it. He is able to tell me every part of speech whenever we do our grammar lessons. He can tell me a sentence that has adjectives, adverbs in it, and then he can tell me what those words are.
Give us an example of sound wall gestures, sound wall
Okay, so like we do eagle, E.
She's doing now, folks, is she's flapping her arms.
Okay, yeah. And so like for apple, we act like we're eating an apple. For pizza, we put a pizza up to our mouth. Turtle, we have a turtle in our hand. Dog, we pet a dog. Dog, D. So every sound has a motion that goes with it, and then we will say how you spell those sounds whenever we make the motion. So,
just to put in here, we call these things brainies, and our brainies that many teachers use are a capital letter brainy. You put your upper hand on your lower hand, and you lift it up to show a brainy is a tall, big letter. A period is when you push your hand out and you say "ert." So brainy gestures, motions. This sounds like it's visual, physical, auditory, oral, kinesthetic. It sounds like maybe we ought to call this whole brain teaching. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe so, Coach.
All right. Let's go on now to Screaming Sammy. Give us a background on what kind of world this child came from.
Okay, so Screamy Sammy would spend 4 to 5 hours of the day screaming at the top of his voice. He would a lot of times cry.
I thought you said 4 to 5 hours a day. Didn't you mean minutes?
No, 4 to 5 hours. He pretty much the only time during the day he was not screaming was when he was eating lunch. During first recess, he would respond really well to first recess. And whenever he would go to specials, if it was a special he liked. But for the specials he didn't like, he would be screaming during those.
What do you know about his
background? So for his background, so he has both parents, and they're very supportive. Mom was on the phone with me. Whenever we were at the point where he was screaming pretty much all day except for lunch, she was on the phone with me every day, if not a couple times a day, trying to figure out what was going on, trying to figure out what could help him. He was in and out of schools. So he had four different schools that he was enrolled in the first 2 years of his schooling. This is the first year that he's been in school, in the same school, the same classroom all year long. So I know that can play a part in being stressful on kids. He also had lived in a couple different states. So that was very stressful. But he was from, as far as I can tell, and as far as I know, a very loving and successful home. And Mom didn't know how to help him either.
Intriguing. All right. What was the secret sauce? What are the steps that you're using to get this kid to not scream for 4 to 5 hours a day? Go, my dear guru.
So with him, same thing as the with aggressive Andy, is I would make sure that I would try to find ways to connect with him. The difficult part with him is that he also has a severe speech impediment, and so it was really hard to understand a lot that he said. And so that was some of the hang up at the beginning of the year, is I couldn't understand what his favorite color was. I couldn't understand what he liked. I didn't understand what he did when he went home. It took me about a month of getting to know him and how his words sounded before I could understand what he said. And I was, you know, I studied him. Every time he said something, I would figure out what it was that he said so I would know next time what it was that he said. I also didn't change my tone of voice. He was screaming and screaming and screaming and screaming. At some point in time, he would get so upset that he would start self-harming. And so I wouldn't change my tone of voice. You have to be safe, including to yourself. If you're not safe, we're going to have to go somewhere that's safe, and I'm going to have to hold your hands until you can be safe. And so I would always remain calm with him. The biggest thing is that I always wanted to give him a hug, and I would give him the option. I would say, do you want a high five or a hug? And so he usually would take a hug. And so after a while, he wanted those hugs. He would start initiating them, and he would initiate those hugs. And so if he'd start screaming, I would just hug him into me, and I would sit there, and he could scream, and I would hug him, and then he would stop screaming, or he wouldn't scream as loudly. He'd start calming down. He wanted that physical touch and being held in order to help him start calming down.
Rhonda, what's going through your teacher's brain here?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm just amazed at the work that she has done with these children. She's a blessing, and I hope the parents realize what all that she's doing. But it also makes me feel good that it's really showing how much Holbrink teaching is effective, even with a classroom full of beloved rascals, you know, not like a regular ed classroom. So thank you, Bethany, for all that you're doing for these kids.
All right. So the secret sauce is still the same kind of thing, maintaining control, not letting your amygdala off its leash. But take us a little further. What's next after you're getting him to maybe calm down a little bit?
So sometimes moving locations helped him, but a lot of times just getting him distracted from what he was yelling about. Sometimes he couldn't even remember what he was screaming about. He had screamed for so long. And so we would go to the next thing. And once he figured out the routine of the classroom and the routine of the day, he started doing a little bit better with it, with the transitions that we would have. And even if he was screaming, he would say those transition words, the three words that we would say before I act, I ask myself, is it kind? Is it safe? Is it making our team stronger? He might be screaming, but he was saying those words. And I would congratulate him on that. And I would say, thank you so much for saying that with us. Now we're going to do whatever was on our schedule, because he was trying to participate. He just couldn't make his mind come down from screaming.
Mm-hmm. And what academic, especially WBT academic, successes as Screaming Sammy had?
So he knows all the motions to the sound wall, all the brainies. And whenever he is struggling to spell a word, all I have to do is make that motion and he will say H and he will write it down. I don't even have to say anything. He will look to me and I will just make the motion. Whenever we are doing grammar lessons, he knows how to make sentences and he can make those sentences. His favorite thing to do is ask and answer wonder word questions. Whenever I introduced wonder words, we started it as a game and we would ask wonder word questions about pictures. And he always wanted to ask all the questions and he always wanted to be first. So he would sometimes scream because I didn't call on him first, or he'd sometimes scream because I didn't let him ask 10 questions in a row, but he loved it so much and he started excelling at that. And then I just started adding in other little pieces and started adding in other academics. Like I'd read a book and let him ask wonder words questions about it and he could lead it. And he was so excited and loved to do that. He also really does well with the clickables. He likes to make those words, and it's hard for him to write. He's very weak in fine motor skills, but he can touch those letters and they pop up on the board, and he loves to do that and make silly words. We always start with making silly words first before we make the words that we're talking about.
I'm desperately hoping that you're also going to say that using Super Improver with both these kids was helpful. I hope.
So aggressive Andy responded to Super Improver a whole lot more quickly than screaming Sammy did. Aggressive Andy loved Super Improver, and he loves giving his stars away. He never gives himself a star. I don't know if I remember a time this entire school year that he's given himself a star. He always gives them to other people. And so if I want him to have a star, I place it on his because he wants to give them away. But he loves looking for improvements. And he loves rolling those dice whenever he gets to that point of rolling dice.
Now, what about
because of
Sammy?
Improvements? He did not like Super Improver at first. He wanted a star when everybody else got a star. He did not like it at all. He also would scream if he got a 4 or a 5 on a dice roll. He didn't like that. He wanted those stars. He is doing so much better with it now, though. Once we established what an improvement was, and once he got used to it, it probably took till November, but he doesn't scream about it anymore. Now he's happy to get stars and give them away. And actually, whenever we come back from spring break, he's going to be able to unlock the next level because he only has one more improver star before he's the next one to level up. He does enjoy Super Improver now, and he loves getting those level up certificates, and he loves seeing his improvements.
I'm going to say that if he was screaming when other kids got stars, that meant those stars were very valuable to him. Of course, he probably screamed about a lot of things. But I really like this idea that you got some kids who are buying into rewarding for improvement, and other kids just need to get clear on what it means to improve. Laura, yeah. What are we learning here from dear, dear Bethany?
Well, Coach, if you don't mind, I have a question that I would like to ask, because the whole concept of like, not, this is something that's always like on my mind, of not letting our amygdala get hijacked when our students' amygdalas are hijacked. So Bethany, what advice would you give, or how do you prepare yourself to not have your amygdala hijacked in the middle of aggressive Andy's outbursts or screaming Sammy's meltdowns? How, what advice can you give to teachers?
I always take a deep breath before I respond. I do not want to react ever to a situation. I only want to ever respond, and I want to do it in a safe manner. I know most of my kids have come from traumatic backgrounds and are struggling. And so I prepare myself in the morning before I have any students. I prepare myself for the day. I take my own deep breaths. I do my own stretches. I make sure that I'm ready and I'm calm. And there might be days that I have something personal going on, and so it's on my mind heavy, and so it's more difficult. But I try to center myself before I even deal with any students, because they may walk in the door already heightened, and I cannot be heightened.
What do you say to yourself when a kid is starting to go off?
I just start asking myself about safety. What is not safe in this situation? How should I respond to their safety in this situation? And if all of them are heightened at the same time, because that has happened, I've walked in from lunch and all 7 of them are heightened and there's a lot of screaming and a lot of things going on. Before I make any reaction at all, I look around the room and decide who is being unsafe, who is the most unsafe. That's who I go to first, because if someone's being unsafe and hurts themselves or hurts somebody else, I can't deal with everything else that's just being loud. I have to make sure everyone's safe. So I deal with that first before going to anybody else.
You used a nice phrase before, like junk behaviors. Junk behaviors.
Yes.
Say a little bit more about junk behaviors and why it makes sense to ignore them. Go ahead.
Junk behaviors are behaviors that are just trying to get a reaction out of you. I'm going to pull open the drawers. I'm going to throw an eraser. I'm going to talk when you're talking. I'm going to scream whenever somebody else screams, not because there's anything wrong, just because they're screaming. They're junk behaviors that are just trying to get a reaction from you and attention from you, or reaction and attention from somebody else, a peer.
Okay. Rhonda? What have we learned here today from our dear Wibbeteer?
Well, I feel like that we have learned that whole brain teaching strategies are effective for an alternative classroom as well as a regular ed classroom. And that's refreshing to know because I often wondered if it would work. I had a PBIS classroom in my school, and I kind of wondered if he would incorporate some of those strategies, if that would help. And she's living proof that yes, it would have helped.
Laura, what have we learned?
I've learned, I echo Rhonda, first of all. I agree with that, but it is just more proof that whole brain teaching is honestly the way to go. It's also kind of, some days as a teacher, I wonder, am I doing what I need to be doing? And a lot of the things you said, Bethany, I'm like shaking my head because I'm like, these are the things I'm trying to instill in my classroom. And so I just really appreciate you bringing that to us and helping us to understand how we can use that in a classroom that is similar to yours. But even if we have that one or two really tough, extremely beloved rascals, that these are things that work. Are going to work in your classroom.
Let's talk about long-term mirrors. Now, this is going to sound corny, ladies, so please don't criticize me. But listening to Bethany, her strategy is she's decided I'm going to be the kind of person I want my kids to be. That's it. I want my kids to be calm. I want my kids to care about each other. I'm going to be the kind of person I want my kids to be. That's a beautiful thing. But what she has pointed out is no matter the extreme behavior, there is a corner that will be turned. There is a secret sauce. Kids have passions that they like to think about. Every single kid does. And with patience, we can discover those. And the difference between Bethany's classroom and everyone else's is that she's a long-term mirror. She's a long-term demonstrator of the kind of behavior that she wants to see in her kids. For some, you're going to get them on the first day. For others, it's going to take till November. But Bethany's a good example of you got no choice. You're going to be with them all the way till June. You have no choice. Except to be the kind of person you want them to be. Beautiful, wonderful experience here. We look forward to having Bethany and other teachers back who can talk to us about their extremely beloved rascal success stories. Bethany, thank you so much. And folks, if you have questions about this particular issue, post them on our Facebook page. And that's a wrap. Go, Laura and Rhonda.
Well, I just want our listeners to know that the names that we have used, Aggressive Andy and Screaming Sammy, are not these children's real names,
No,
correct?
they are not.
We're doing a private, I mean, we're keeping it private, but we want to help you teachers learn more. So I just wanted to clarify that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Rhonda. And Coach and Bethany, thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about these extremely beloved rascals, Aggressive Andy and Screaming Sammy. We want to remind you, our listeners, to check out our website, www.wholebrainteaching.com, our Whole Brain Teaching official store on Teachers Pay Teachers, and our Whole Brain Teaching Facebook pages. We are here for you. Please continue to like, subscribe, and share this podcast everywhere and with everyone. We are so thankful for each of you. And until next time, bye.